the garment of truth. For it is written, by his stripes I am healed. Amen. Now, Monday morning, don't change your clothes. Don't put on a different garment. You just put on a new one right now. You keep that garment on. Don't put on those negative facts anymore. The more you focus on facts, the more you retain the facts. The more you focus on truth, you will receive the truth. Amen. In Romans, our Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart. What must you guard your heart against? The facts. Guard your heart against the facts. You want to rehearse, replay over and over and over. Rehearse the truth. Speak the truth, and then receive the truth. It wasn't meant to be a difficult thing. Amen. Now we're going to look at one more person in the Bible. Is this helping you tonight, this morning? Now, you'll know this person too. Her name is Mary. She's the mother of Jesus. And now an angel comes to Mary. And the angel came to her and he said, hail, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed, favorite of God are you before all other women. The angel is speaking truth. He is speaking from the realm of the supernatural. Now, I'm reading this out of the Amplified, so I want you to stay, just listen to the words from the Amplified. And then it says in verse 29, but when she saw him, she was greatly troubled. She was disturbed, and she was confused. Who's the author of confusion? She was confused at what he said, and she kept revolving in her mind, what is he talking about? She is focusing on the facts. She can't seem to grab hold because she's focusing on the facts. So the angel has to say something to her again. This time the angel says to her, do not be afraid. How many times do we hear the Lord say, fear not, fear not? See, fear is enemy of your faith. He says, fear not, Mary, for you have found grace with God. And then he says, listen. He says, listen. Now, let's just imagine for a moment that it's Friday night, and you're all going to go out to a restaurant for dinner. And it's Friday night, 6 o'clock. I mean, that place is packed out. You could close your eyes and know it's packed out because you could hear all the people talking. You could hear all these voices. Even with your eyes, go, oh, it is packed in here. But when you go to sit down at the table, you're only going to listen to the people at your table. Big difference between listening and hearing. You can still hear all the other voices, but at that point, you're now beginning to focus and listen to the people at your table. I remember one time I was visiting at my daughter's house, and my grandson was getting ready to get on the school bus, and she says, now, Matthew, do not leave your jacket on the bus when you come home today. Are you listening to me? He says, yes, Mom, I heard you. She said, no, I don't want to know if you heard me. I want to know if you listened to me. You know, you can be talking to people and they're texting. They can hear you, but they're not listening to you. So you need to learn to listen. Listen, listen in here. So the angel says, listen. He said, you will become pregnant and you will give birth to a son and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages. And of his reign there shall be no end. Glory. The angel is speaking truth. He is speaking from the realm of the supernatural. Hallelujah. And then Mary says to the angel, well, now how can this be? I have no intimacy with any man. I have not, a husband. She's talking about the facts. He's trying to get her to click into the supernatural. But nope, she is just focusing on the facts. How can this be? This is impossible. It cannot happen. So the angel's got to talk again. Now the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the offspring which shall be born of you will be called the Son of God. And listen. He says, now listen. Your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. We know who that is, don't we? And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. He said, listen, your cousin just had a miracle. Your relative, she just had a miracle. So listen, Mary. Now listen to what the angel says now. It is so profound. For with God, and it's written right up here, for with God, nothing is ever impossible. And it goes on to say, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Wow. No word shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. The angel again is speaking from the realm of truth, the realm of the supernatural. And at that point, Mary says, well, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. And then it said the angel left. Why did he leave? Because she changed her focus from facts to truth. He thought, okay, now she's got it. I can leave. And when she said, be it unto me, it could have been the very moment of conception. We don't know when it happened, but it could not happen until she came into full agreement with truth. That's why the angel had to keep talking and talking and talking. Mary, listen, grab hold. Grab hold of the supernatural. It can't happen till you come into agreement with truth. She grabbed hold and she conceived. But the same challenge that Mary had is the same challenge that we often have. It's in verse 29. She kept revolving, and she was troubled, disturbed, and confused, and kept revolving in her mind the facts. Stop rehearsing the facts. Rehearse truth. What brought you here tonight? All the years that the Lord has performed his promises to you. That's why you're here today. Amen. Now I want to share one more testimony. You doing okay? In 1986, I had just graduated from Bible school, graduated from Rhema, and I had gone on a missionary trip back to Africa, and it was a combination trip of evangelism and a medical clinic. And when you do medical clinics way out in the bush, you're exposed to many diseases, much germs. It's a very highly contaminated area. So when you're doing medical clinics out there, you have to take extra inoculations because it's just so highly contaminated. And there will be many mosquitoes in those areas. And mosquitoes carry malaria. So I'm taking the preventative, doing everything I'm supposed to do. I was there for a month, and I was very aware that the mosquitoes were biting me. But not to worry, because I am on the preventative. So I was there for 30 days, and the day I came home, my son picked me up at the airport and thinking I'd probably be tired, so he rented a movie for us to watch, and it was Chariots of Fire. And I love that phrase where it says, he who honors God will be honored by God. That's a powerful statement. And so we're not even halfway through that movie, and boom, whoa. I immediately had a fever. It was 103, just like that. And so I immediately applied the word of God, Luke 10:19. I took authority over that spirit of malaria. Now, when you take authority over the devil, those attacks, the devil's not going to say, oh, Excuse me, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to bother you. I didn't know you didn't want malaria. I didn't know you didn't want me to steal or kill you. I am so sorry. I will leave right now. No, he doesn't do that. He's coming at you because he wants to test. How strong are you in the Word of God? Are you focusing on facts? Are you focusing on truth? You know, the Bible says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. He's testing to see, is it in you richly or medium or low? Because if the word's in you on a low level, he knows he can devour you quickly. Just like a lion devours a weak prey, the devil goes around looking for weak Christians. So he's not going to back off. He's going to wait and see who's going to win this battle. Who's going to win, me or them? So he's not going to leave. So you'll get worse. Symptoms keep rolling in. Pain increases. I was feeling worse. So I thought, well, Monday morning, I'm going to go to the doctor and get some more of the chloroquine tablets because I know that you can take that preventative early and just stop that. You can, like, nip it in the bud. I'll just do that. So it's mixing wisdom with your faith. Not a lack of faith. You're mixing wisdom with your faith. And so I went to the doctor, and I said, may I have some more of the chloroquine tablets because I've got some symptoms. No, Marilyn, you do not have malaria. No, don't even think that now. So you were on the preventative, so I'm not going to give you any more of those tablets. Maybe you're just extra tired. I'd be happy to do a blood test. And so at that point, I did not know that he did not know anything about malaria. He didn't know that malaria can kill you very quickly, that it destroys your liver, your kidneys, your spleen, and your blood. You are very nauseated. You have a very, very high fever, and you can have a horrifying headache. So the next day, I called him up to get the results, and he said, no, I don't have them yet. I thought, oh, maybe I called too early. Well, the next day, he still didn't have them. Then I realized, okay, he didn't put that into the lab to get the 24-hour turnaround, which you'd call stat, put it in stat. No, he didn't do that. I thought, okay. So then I wake up the next day, and I am burning up with fever. I'm now up to a little over 104. I called him up. I said, I'm on fire. What should I do? Well, take a cold shower. I thought, well, I could have figured that part out, you know. So I figured, well, maybe the results will come in later today. Well, the next morning I woke up, now my whole body is swollen. And it had turned yellow. And the whites of my eyes were yellow. The inside of my mouth was yellow. I looked like a puffy little bumblebee, all swollen, all yellow. And I called my friend. I said, come and get me to the doctor right away. I was so sick, I could not even get dressed. I went to the doctor's office with my robe and my slippers. And when I walked in there, looking like a puffy little bumblebee, the nurse said, oh, my goodness, we got to hide you. I don't want you to scare our patients. That's what she said. You look terrible. I thought, well, thank you. And so she grabbed me by the arm, and she rushed me into a room. She actually said, we don't want you to scare people. Okay. So I got in there, and the doctor came in, and he said, wow, you are really yellow. I wonder if maybe you have hepatitis. But we don't know. We don't have any test results. So not to worry. You just go back home. I'll call you. I'll call you when we get the test results. Now you're thinking, stupid, stupid, stupid. Well, when you start running a high fever like that, you don't really think clearly. Especially when you're single and there's nobody really watching out for you. And so I went home, and the next morning, very early, my phone rang, and it was the doctor. He said, Marilyn, we are sending an ambulance to your house because I got the blood test back. And you not only have malaria, you have double malaria. You have two different forms of malaria at the same time. I've already called a disease specialist. He already looked at your blood work, and he said, it's the worst he's ever seen, and that was 5 days earlier. I got to the hospital. The disease specialist was waiting my arrival. He said, Marilyn, I'm sorry to tell you, but you now need to be treated with quinine, and we don't have any. He said, you are the first patient we've ever had with malaria. He said, I already have a staff of people calling around, because this was before the internet. So we're calling all around trying to locate a hospital that might have quinine. It took another whole day. I was on the quinine for 3 days, and I myself, I knew it wasn't working. Now, when I went to the hospital that morning, I took two things with me. I took my toothbrush, and then I took my cassette player back then with Brother Hagin's healing scriptures on it. And I asked the nurse, because they had a lot of Christian nurses in this hospital, I said, would you play that even if I'm asleep? Just play that, because it'll still feed my spirit. Even if my body might be sleeping, my spirit's awake. And she said she would do that. And they had they brought in medical students. I didn't know at the time, but they had put a sign on my door, no visitors allowed. Even though malaria is not contagious, they didn't want anybody coming in there except the medical students, who would come in to observe me and watch me get sick. And just, she's sick. Look, just taking notes. Not one of them offered me a glass of water. Not one of them gave me a tissue. Not one of them even called the nurse to say, oh, she's sick and she soiled her garment. They just took notes, And I knew that the quinine wasn't working. And the disease specialist came in the following morning and he said, Marilyn, I'm very sorry to tell you, but you are dying. And if you want to say goodbye to your family, you need to call them now, not this afternoon. He said, do you understand what I'm saying when I say this afternoon is too late? And I thought to myself, God didn't heal me of cancer so I could die of malaria. Does not compute. No. I had to keep my focus away from the facts and focus on truth. In spite of being so sick, a fever of over 105, being told I've got hours left to live, I could not focus on facts. I had to keep my focus on truth. I fell asleep, and I woke up. It must have been about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. My first thought was, oh, I'm still here. I literally did that. I'm still here. And I thought, as long as I have breath, I can fight. And I took a hold of the support bars on the side of my bed. And I thought, the devil is going to see me sitting up. And I don't know how long it took. It took all the energy I could muster up. And I started pulling. And I pulled. And I pulled. And I pulled until I was sitting up. And then, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I didn't do one thing different than I had done during the whole week. Nothing different. And some of the time I'm sleeping, some of the time I was unconscious, but whenever I was awake, I took authority over that spirit of malaria. Same thing I did at that moment. And at that moment, it was just like the woman with the issue of blood. Suddenly, I felt in my body I was just healed of that plague. And I just collapsed, hallelujah, back in my bed from exhaustion. I want to tell you two things. Victory is never determined by the volume of your shout. I had no volume left. You understand what I'm saying? All it takes is breath. As long as you can breathe, you can fight. And a number of years ago, I was preaching in Africa. Actually, it was my first sermon I ever preached in Africa. And it was a very poor building. They had like a half a roof and maybe two walls and very, very poor. But there must have been about maybe 80 people or so in there. And they seemed to be very receptive to the word, and I'm just preaching. And suddenly some man came in and he shouted five words. And everybody jumped up and ran out of the church. I thought, now what did he say? I'd like to know those five words. Maybe they'd run into the church instead of running out of the church. And my translator starts to run away, and I said, wait a minute. What did that man say? And he said, the cow fell in the pit. I thought, the cow. Everybody had to go see the cow. And so I thought, well, I want to go see the cow then. So I go out there, and there is this cow, big cow. He must have stepped backwards and fell in a pit because it was a deep pit. He was on his hind legs. His hoofs were up clawing at the top, above his head. And you could just see the panic look on that cow. He could not get out of that pit. And two of the natives jumped in that pit with that cow and got behind him and started to push and push until they got that cow out of that pit. That is exactly what the Holy Ghost will do for you if you are in the pit of your situation. If you have that fighting, that cow was fighting to get out. If you got a spirit of faith, if you got to put some fight to your faith, the Holy Ghost, he'll get behind you and he'll push you right up out of that pit. But you got to have that fight. Without the fight, there is no pushing. The Holy Ghost is there to push you right up out of that pit. Again, as long as you have breath, because all things are possible with God, but they are not automatic. They're not automatic. Amen. I want to show you something. This is a copy of one of my medical reports, July 1986, Marilyn Neubauer, St. Francis Hospital. This, one of these records, it says, this patient is going to die. These are facts. Psalms 118, verse 17, it says, you shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is truth. So you have to switch off the facts and focus on the truth. It is not an option. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. If you will have that bulldog tenacity, focus on faith, focus on truth, and then you can receive the truth. Amen. I want to pray with you this morning. I hope the message helped you. But are you ready to receive truth today? I would like, first of all, just to ask you to close your eyes for just a moment. There might be some people that I haven't met before in the past, but if you have never asked Jesus to come into your life, that is the greatest miracle you'll ever have. That's greater than being healed of cancer. That's greater than being healed of malaria. It's greater than a blind eye being opened. Because when you ask Jesus into your life, you receive eternal life. And when you get born again, the Bible calls that being born again. Your spirit becomes alive to the spirit of the Lord God Almighty. And you are promised two things. You are promised, number one, when you leave this earth, you will be with Father God, Jesus, forever and ever in heaven. You'll be walking those same gold streets and seeing those gates of pearl. That is a guaranteed promise. But the other promise is that while you're on this earth, the Holy Spirit will come and live and abide within you. And he will be there every breathing moment of your life to guide you into all the truth. He can guide you into what to do to receive healing, to be in a safe place, to have a financial breakthrough, whatever it is, to restore a marriage. He's there to help you, to guide you. And all you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he died on the cross, and he rose again from the dead just for you. If you believe that, all you have to do is ask him to come into your life. Is there anybody here today, you have never prayed that prayer? I want you just to raise up your hand that I could pray with you. Anybody, you've never prayed that prayer? Or maybe you've prayed that prayer, but you've drifted away. But this morning, you can just sense the love of God is just wooing you back. Is there anybody here today, you've never prayed that prayer? Anybody at all? You know what I'd like us to do? Let's just pray that all together. I just sense there's one or two people here that you've never prayed that prayer, but let's just pray it together. And if that's you, you've never prayed that prayer, I want you to pray it with all your heart if you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So let's pray together and just repeat after me. Dear God, I do believe that you sent your Son Jesus.